All right, what is going on, everybody, and welcome back to Serious Angler. Back again with the Fantasy Fishing Crew. We got the whole squad in here, plus a special plus one. We figured you guys might be getting sick of some armchair quarterbacks and want to hear what's actually going on from a pro's perspective. So we have Mr. Jonathan Kelly joining us down here in the bottom left corner. And of course, we got the whole crew up top here with the captain, and we got Deacon, myself, and Brendan and Boomer as well. So we got the whole squad in tonight. And we have one more guest coming out tonight that you'll see in about 15 or 20 minutes here. So we're trying to pull out all the stops here for Bassmaster Classic Week.
It's a big week. March Madness, baby.
Uh-huh. Super Bowl. It's here. The good stuff right here.
I want to say it was Mercer said it on his most recent show. Was it? He said championship. No, I think it was Pangrack said on his recent show. It was like championship week. He said he's going to call it now from now on because you have Red Crest Classic and March Madness. It's basically championship month at this point, the month of March. But it's a fun time in fishing because there's a lot going on. But I guess first things first is quick shout out to Dustin Connell for a second Red Crest championship win. We had plans to get DC on the show, so just know that is coming up, as well as been talking with Alton Jr. and we'll get Alton Jones Jr. back on the show. He's been on several times. Another second place finish, which is also just as impressive, being bridesmaid that many times. So just know those guys are going to be coming on the show. And as we start getting into Classic here, we're quickly going to go through Lake Fork, go through the points, go through the winners, things like that, and obviously get with our guy here who actually fished one of the biggest events in Bassmaster Elite Series history. The
biggest beatdown in history. Top to bottom. That's
right. Well, we'll get your whole perspective on that, but there's one thing I want to say before we get into the Fork recap that we got to give credit where credit is due, and there is a comment here that I remember vividly. I think it was day two, or no, actually, it was like midway through day one when I saw Lee Livesey only had three fish. And I remember this comment specifically that we literally went into this guy saying there's no way in hell that Lee Livesey isn't going to catch him. And he was right.
I remember that. I remember that. So we were like, there is no picture in my mind where this could happen. And it was like, oh, we got absolutely throttled.
Yep. This guy, Bass Fanatic here, said, told you guys Lee wasn't going to contend at Fork. And we are men enough to admit that you were right. We were wrong. And never do we want to ever like talk about this in a light manner because Lee Livesey is an awesome guy. I don't like to see any of these guys on the trail flop, but he called it. He did call it. So
gotta get weapons. Yeah. Isn't Lee still winning the math here, though? Like, wouldn't you still probably want to take Lee on paper every time?
Yeah, I mean, I'd still pick him again.
Yeah, I'm taking him. If we're here next year, I'm taking him again. No question. But yeah.
Yeah, read the whole thing, same time, same conditions. I'm probably still going to take Lee.
I mean, taking Lee next year, but also that sucked. Yep.
So, Jonathan, amongst your peers, was there some murmur of, like, I can't believe Lee didn't catch him? Like, was there some of that between you guys?
You don't really hear that a lot amongst the anglers. One, we're just not around each other a lot, you know, other than just in the tanks and the weigh-in lines. But I think all of us kind of understand that even though someone's a local, we're still, you know, we're still human. We're still fishermen. It's not a guarantee. And I know a lot of fans and outsiders, they view it as, well, it's a guaranteed lock for a local to do good. And when you're local at a lake, you get a lot of pressure, you know, a lot going into a lot of high expectations. And yeah, you might have an upper hand. You might know a couple extra spots here and there that might specifically hold fish. You go into practice already having some like ammo in your tank. But I've always gave a lot of credit to guys who are locals for fishing their local lake, because I can't imagine, like, I don't have a local lake just where I'm from, but I can't imagine that kind of pressure going into a tournament, not even just a tournament week, but like the whole month, 2 months, 3 months, the whole preparation going into it. It's gotta be tolling. Like, I can only imagine. And like, it's fishing. It's not guaranteed. We're literally chasing creatures that swim. So it's like, even though you've fished there your whole life, you grew up there, it's still not a guarantee. So I don't discredit any guy if they have a tough, you know, they have a tough time when they're local. It happens. It always does. And you see it everywhere. It's not just like, you know, Lee did had a tough tournament at Fork. It happens to everyone. Like if we go back there next year the same time, I can guarantee he'll be in the top 10.
Yeah. You had to imagine in the afternoon, day one, three fish still, there were some voices in his head.
Oh, I'm sure. I'd be curious to know, like, was he like running around like crazy, or was he kind of just sitting somewhere just thinking, okay, if it turns on in this last hour, I'm going to jack 35 pounds, 40 pounds. Like I just wonder what went through his mind that whole time.
That's what creates the pressure leading into it, is knowing going into it that it's going to be one of two worlds. It's going to be the best day ever or the worst feeling mm-hmm. in the world, you know, mm-hmm. but for sure.
And it's not like he just competed the last two times he was there. He like blew it away, right?
Dominated.
The pressure, that is so much pressure. You know what I mean? You know you can win. You know you've done it before, and everybody's talking about it. They gave him like 70-some percent, didn't they? Wasn't it something like insane for that bucket?
It was – you had to be like a record, honestly.
We're talking about the same guy that's won the two previous times. It's like look at all pro sports. Like you hardly ever see teams go back-to-back and win. You know,
that's a good point.
For him to have done it three in a row, that would have been insane.
Yeah, right. I agree. Totally agree.
Yeah. Well – recapping Fork quick, any other takeaways before we roll through the points beyond the obvious smash fest that went down?
Dude, I think we just continue to see the dominating rookie class, right? I mean, these young guys with Scope are just, I mean, incredible, man. And that's not just Scope, right? Like there was also the going and fishing a dock and fishing some up shallow too, but I have been just absolutely blown away. And I just love it and kind of continue to see it as it goes.
Yeah. That last day one thing that was cool that they showcased was Trey went and fished shallow for a decent amount of the last day, which was a cool showcase. And I'm sure a breath of fresh air for some folks, but man, like talk about the number. So top 10, obviously all having century belts. But I think like, say this was like the NPFL format where say like the top 40 got to fish on the last day too. Like John, how many century belts do you think we would have seen on the last day if more guys were able to fish?
If you sent 40, I would say 40. it was backtrack it up a little bit. The fishing was tougher than obviously looked. It always is. Like it wasn't like they were jumping in the boat, even for Trey who won the tournament. Like he was still working hard, grinded. Like I myself grinded. Like I caught probably more fish than anyone else. I was more on a shallow deal, catching numbers, hoping to try to come across 2 to 3, 4 big ones a day. But you know, as the tournament went on, you know, I kind of had to learn and shift and this and that. But it's hard to say. It really is. So going into the tournament, I really thought that it was kind of going to be a lot easier just because we're going to Fork. And it was a lot more challenging than I thought to get bites in practice. So when you saw the weights, and I know I had buddies that texted me after the event, they were like, it's so cool. It's like 6 pounder, 7 pounder, 8 pounder, 9 pounder, 6 pounder. I was like, yeah, it might look like that on Bass Track, but when we're actually on the water individually, like it's like, okay, we catch 6 pounder, 45 minutes goes by. We don't catch another one. And it's like, then you finally run into a 7 pounder and it's like, okay, then you run into 2 twos and it's like, well, those 2 twos are meaningless. So it's like, it took some guys throughout the day a while to catch their 25 to 30 pounds. So it was work. And I definitely want to stress that. I know a lot of people thought it was super easy.
Yeah. Like a lot of guys are saying it's like 6 to maybe 8 bites a day. Like 8 bites were a really good day.
Yeah. And then like going back to like, if they sent top 40, I think all 40 would have had a chance. Cause it's just like, if you kept an open mind and didn't get stuck somewhere, it seemed like you could eventually run into 2 or 3 big ones. So the chance of catching another 20 pound bag was there. Probably everyone in that top 40, which I think probably most of them only needed 20, 21, 22 to make that century belt. So I think it would have been pretty cool. I know the backstage, they're like, I think they should just send all 40 or whoever's on pace for 100, they should send. I heard someone say that. That's an awesome idea.
If they're within 40, send them.
Well, that's what I said. I was like, yeah, but if you do that, you got to consider, like, what if you send someone that is still 40 pounds off. Like, the chance of them catching 40 is possible.
Yeah, it should be a consolation day, the day after day four, of like, just to go get a belt.
They should have, on Monday, they should have sent 11 to 50 again. Let's recompete for those places.
Yeah.
I feel like I got gypped.
Yeah. All right. Any other takeaways before we start running through down through these points and start getting into the classic? Anything else? All right. So, recapping the Lake Fork event in terms of our standings here in this group, we have rounding out the caboose is the captain, Mr. Andy Full, 863 points. Justin Largent, of course, could not make it tonight. He is actually, tomorrow is day one of his event for the Bassmaster Kayak on 10 Killer. So he's getting ready and prepared for that. But he was in fifth with 889. Actually, excuse me. I didn't even see Brendan all the way down there with 760 points. So you were in the caboose.
Yeah.
I didn't even see him. He says, I didn't see him back there.
It's even worse that you just now recognized it. Now it's even more embarrassing. Thanks.
Oh, that was so bad.
I mean, this is the worst night ever. Three people, and he goes, oh, Brennan, I'm sorry.
Oh, Brennan, I completely missed you.
The best part is that Brennan didn't speak up either. You didn't get Brennan go, oh, wait. No,
I knew I lost, believe me. But I'm like, oh, cool. Yeah, he forgot. And then now this is embarrassing. Moving on.
Super cool. May or may not have done that on purpose.
Thanks.
And in third is myself with 929. Second with 969 is Deacon. And then our last season's champion back on top with 1,041 points, Mr. Boomer. So with that,
let's say.
Yeah, he had one down event. Now he's coming for revenge, you know?
I didn't.
Were you the only one that didn't pick Lee? Is that why you won?
Probably.
I took Polikinik and he pulled his head out. Yeah.
Sounds like someone has some insider information on this.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure. He does.
We've been saying that.
We brought you on, Josh. All right. So, in the grand scheme of things so far, after two events, the standings are as such. We got Brennan rounding out the caboose in sixth and fifth place. We have Andy. Fourth place, we got Boomer. Third place, Justin. Second place, myself. And then leading right now, after two events, Mr. Adam Deacon.
We're staging a comeback, all right?
We'll see how long that lasts. Yeah. That's right. And with that, let's quickly go through Drain the Lake. We got in the Brendan, you got to figure something out, man.
I had a bad week, man.
Brendan, you got to figure something out, man.
Blame it on the Wi-Fi. So we got in sixth place with 2,617 points, Mr. Brennan Chapman. And with one more point in fifth is Justin Largen. In fourth is myself. Third, the captain. And second, Adam Deacon. Well, actually, tied for first is Boomer and Adam Deacon with 3,251. Can't say I've ever seen a Drain the Lake tie just yet. That's pretty. It's pretty stout, boys.
We'll take it.
Leading
Northwest representing.
Yeah, I guess so. You guys, right. Got nothing else to do up there because there's not as much fishing. So you just do fantasy fishing.
Hey, there's some surprising amount of fishing. There's just not enough bass fishermen. I think that's what I've learned.
It's like we don't talk about Fight Club. We don't talk about Northwest Fishing.
We just don't talk about
it. Speaking of which, Boomer, did you see that 10-pounder caught in Washington? It's like 10-15. It's a green one. I don't know what lake it was on, but it was in a tournament in Western Washington.
Deacon, he just said Fight Club. You don't talk about it, bro.
I talk about Fight Club.
had to give a little something.
So, like, one of the biggest fish that we've caught in the Northwest was a 10-pounder that came out of Banks Lake, and Deacon's been there, and that's, like, our big tournament lake. But that was back when Mike Long. Remember when Mike Long, before he got caught, was driving around catching big bass in one lake and then taking them to another? Well, the guy that set the record on Banks had just got back from a trip from California, like, that day. So, a lot of us are like,
interesting.
Yeah, that was a real – it's got all the rumors behind it, and then Mike gets caught, right? Everyone's like, wait a minute.
Light bulb.
Wait a second.
That's right.
Well,
anyway. Awesome.
So, great start. First two events. Probably the one with the biggest weights we're going to see throughout the year for sure, being so close to breaking the four-day record at 19 years old. So congrats again to Trey McKinney. Great show he did with Mercer. If you guys haven't listened to that one yet, encourage you to. Mercer's been killing it with the shows lately. But let's talk Bassmaster Classic, Grand Lake. We are back. Any first impressions, ideas, theories that you guys have going into this week for the Classic?
Well, I'm pretty sure it's going to be one on probably one of three baits. Cricket tickling a minnow or some type of crankbait, spinnerbait dealing a jig.
What about a jerkbait?
Oh, what jerk bait,
just Grand Lake of the Cherokees.
I don't know what the water temp is.
Oh, so dude.
Well, you asked that, Andy. I can bring that up for you.
There
right
you
now.
Go. See? There we go.
While I pull this up, a side bet to keep your eyes on is, I don't know if anybody watched the Fast Talk Live show with Kyle Patrick, but they have a side bet where if Kyle Patrick ever brings out the jig head minnow throughout the Classic, he owes Panger a grand.
Oh, well, he might as well give him the grand before he makes first pass.
Yeah.
I guarantee
he'll
have it on his deck.
Cut the check.
Yeah, it's like, might as well just do that PayPal over right now.
Well, I will tell you that we're developing a scope rod, and it's pretty dope. And I offered to overnight it to a few of our staffers, and one of them turned it down.
Meaning he's catching him on the bank? Is that what you're saying?
Saying that I don't need a scope rod for this derby. Mm. And I was like, really? I almost couldn't believe it.
Drinking.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have right here a screenshot here of the Omnia Fishing Premium Pro app with the temperature layer of Grand Lake at the moment, which perfect timing. They launched it yesterday. Is they are having a $49 Omnia Premium Pro rebate going on right now. So if you spend the $49 to get Premium Pro, they will give you $49 back. So if you do the math, you're bad at math like me, basically that is free
to win
Pro. Yeah. So now's the time to get it, because you get all the map layers in addition to getting 10% back on all of your orders. But guys, looking at this from the temperatures of the lake here on this map, you know, Jonathan, I guess throwing it to you quick as the guy that would be, you know, you're going to, obviously not, you're in the Classic right now, but if you were going into Grand Lake here, what are the first things you're seeing that pops out to you with how the temperatures are laying out?
The first thing I see is the mid-lake, the big creek pocket that goes up, the entire right side bank is warm. Just down, yeah, right there.
Let me zoom in here for you. This side here?
Yep, right there. Like, that's literally stands right out.
Is that warmer, the brighter color?
Yeah, obviously. So like warmer colors, you know, that yellow, orange, red, could be warmer water.
That's like strange to me, though, to see that, because I would have think the straight across from it on the west side would have been warmer because of like the sun hitting that first.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how deep it is, obviously not looking, seeing like the contours, but, you know, just initial thought, you would think for the most part, the west side would be a little warmer, but when you see that whole right side going into the back of a creek there with warmer water, I feel like that's almost an obvious first place this time of the year for those fish to pull into, get off that main, and you kind of still are going to be able to have those guys in the middle scoping before those fish pull up in along the bank.
Right.
That's a big scope area too. Like, they had Red Crest there a couple of years ago. Evers started in there. That whole flat, he's right. I think that warm water comes from, that's not the elk that comes in right there. That's the, I can't remember, but that river arm that comes in is warm. And a lot of guys will go all the way through there and fish a lot of that river early. I think that Christy was in there that Classic a couple of years ago. But yeah, that's that flat spot that's all warm is covered with brush piles.
Isn't that where Evers started with the flap slap and that Classic that he ended up winning an elk like the first 2 days?
Yes,
cold. He was catching on a mega bass flap slap.
Yeah, well, if you go back to that picture, that spot just outside of it, right where the main rivers is, where you see where the main river, yeah, right there, that point right there, didn't Cliff Pace won right in the mouth of that? Remember that classic was really cold? Yeah, he won right in the mouth of that. On the deeper stuff before they went back and into the big flats back there.
Well, we do have here in the queue, about to add him in, we do have a Grand Lake expert here to join us to kind of give us the hometown scoop. So we have Bassmaster Elite Series Pro, Mr. John Soakup here to join us. What's going on, John?
What's going on?
I had to get on a podcast to chase down Jake to have a conversation. He hasn't. He's unfriended me since I've been hurting his fantasy teams. He told me he's no longer
speaking. Yeah, what's up with that? Yeah. I still picked you.
Yeah, that was wrong. That was a mistake.
Well, John, looking at Grand Lake and seeing the temperature map they put up and everything, how what are you seeing? What is your first impressions of how this week might lay out for the guys?
Man, I don't need to see a temperature map. I'm in Oklahoma, and I've been in Oklahoma since I was born. I see the red buds blooming, the dogwoods are blooming, I'm starting to cough, the cars are getting green from the, you know, all the pollen. But it's just not quite there yet. It's just not quite there yet, and we're a little early. So you are going to have the opportunity somewhere for some guys, and I don't know if they could win, but there is an opportunity for some guys to run the bank really hard right now. There's some fish that are going to be up pretty shallow in that 3 to 5 foot and shallower range. Whether you're there, I think you're going to see some guys doing like Paul Nick did back 10 years ago and did really well with the square bills. I mean, there's going to be some potential, some things like that happen that are outside the realm of the live scoping minnow. Now, I'm not saying that that's not a way to blow the tournament away if somebody's got that connected, because that's always a deal. But you know, the Grand Lake's always kind of known for three different sections. You got the lower lake, which is around that horse area down. You've got the mid lake section, which is that kind of that horse to wolf area, and then you've got the upper river portion of things. And the river is actually what allowed Edwin Evers to blow the classic away, but it's such a risky maneuver that I don't know if it happens. It'll be really interesting. It'll be really fun, because if somebody finds some backwaters where they're doing that, it will be a shallow flipping deal, a jig deal, maybe a spinnerbait deal. From the research that I've done with the guys that are local, Grand Lake right now is normal, level, and it's super clear. So a lot of the older school spinnerbait stuff that we've seen in the past happen, it may not play as much. So we're looking more at, you know, jerk baits and things of that nature. But I think there's going to be a lot of solid top 15 finishes in that mid lake area. If somebody can connect with them down lake, if they can find it and make it happen, which those fish are going to be a little bit later, obviously, so they're going to be more like, you know, winter pre-spawn. And if they can transition over this next week from winter to pre-spawn, there could be some giant bags caught down there. But that mid lake area is known for a lot of 20 pound sacks. A lot of just, you catch a lot of 3.5, 4.5 pounders in the mid lake area.
Why do you think it's so clear? I mean, is that something that's not something really normal for Grand, is it?
No, I mean, we just haven't had that portion hasn't, Kansas has to have rain. The water comes from Kansas, and it's just not happened. We've got quite a bit of rain in southern Oklahoma this year, so some of those lakes are dirtied up. But that's what happens with it. We did have some zebra mussels get into Grand about 10 years ago, and it was really affecting it. We haven't heard as much about it lately, but they're still obviously there. So, you know, if there's not a lot of nutrients coming in the water, it clears that pretty quick, right?
So with how the practice structure is for the classic, you know, ending practice, having a couple of days, and of course they get to go out on, I think it's, is it Wednesday that they get to go back out for like their last official practice day? How susceptible is Grand Lake to quick changes from like a day or two that they don't get to be on the water? How much can change and how fast could it change with Grand?
It can happen overnight. It can happen overnight with Grand. We saw that with Edwin Evers' win. I know a little bit about that area that he won in, and like a north wind blowing situation. Like, there's certain wind directions in certain areas that really affect things. The weather looks like it's going to be a little calm day one, but it's going to start building up and wind on day two and three. And I'm not seeing a lot of sunshine, guys, in the weather forecast. So we really don't have the temp and the sunshine to jump that water into the 70s. We've got what it takes for that water to be from 52 to about, maybe somebody will find 65, but 60, you know, 60 to 52 to 60 is going to be really common for guys to find. And usually it takes just, I mean, it doesn't have to stay at 70, but it usually has to like at least touch 70, you know what I mean? For them to really, really get in the back of stuff. So if guys are running the backs of anything, I think they're going to have to be creative, and they're going to have to burn areas and find a new area. They're going to have to have three different areas where they just burn it to the ground, burn it to the ground, burn it to the ground. 3 days in a row.
John, were you going to say something there?
I said there's a lot of wind for Sunday.
Yeah, so we got the weather forecast pulled up here showing, you know, we'll eat in the day before Thursday. Thursday is showing mid to high 40s overnight with showers and 70 degrees. Friday, 72, partly cloudy with northeast wind at 10. Saturday dropping down to 66, but the 50s overnight, partly cloudy, east-northeast wind at 9. And then Sunday has a south-southeast wind, similar temperatures at over 21 miles per hour. How does a south-southeast wind affect Grant?
Well, I mean, a lot of the best areas, it's good, but it's going to affect the scopers. It's going to really affect them, especially if they found them in more of the winter staging areas than the pre-spawn areas. So that would be the day that you may see someone like a Jason Christie do some old school stuff and you know, come in with a big sack. There might be some really aggressive power fishing able to go on day three with that wind blowing, whether it's around docks or whether it's up in the shallow. We got this thing on Grand, and it happens in the Ozark Lakes, where these fish will transition from chunk rock to pea gravel, and they go up there and they get their belly right on it, and they warm in the sun and stuff like that. So there's going to be a lot of shallow cranking, and if it's not quite active, there'll be a lot of jerk baiting in like 0 to 5 foot, you know, on these shallow points, and those can be in main lake points as well. So look for somebody crazy finding them down lake. They're not there yet, but the full moon's coming on Thursday. The females start moving in. They're not, the males are moving to the back. The females are moving up. You know, they're kind of trading spots, and something magical kind of happens. But in my experience, unless you've really connected with those fish, you're kind of swinging for it really hard, which is the classic. The guys are going to do it, right? So I think you're going to see a lot of guys from horse up to wolf probably doing the same thing that I'm talking about, but they're going to be catching a lot more fish. Their average fish is going to be 3.5 pounds, and they're going to catch an occasional five. So it'll be a lot of 18, you know, 18 pound sacks in that region.
That's going to be an interesting layout. Well,
is that your take, John? You think like 18 a day?
No, I think it's going to be 61 to 63. I don't know like how accurate I need to be in that, but you know, I definitely think it's going to be over 20 a day. I think someone's going to have like a 22.5 pound day, then maybe a 19 pound day, and then maybe a 20 pound day. You know, I mean, whatever that averages out to be, I think it's going to be more of the 63 pound range. And be honest with you guys, I mean, I'm just as baffled as probably every Elite Series pro is out there. The rate the elite guys are catching them right now, and like getting better and better and better and better. They're just pulling the juice out of everywhere they stop. So Grand is full of 20-pound sacks. I mean, I've fished tons of, you know, tournaments there, coming with 19, 20 pounds, and you're not even in the top 20. It only took 22 or 23 to win, but there's just 20 pounds, 20 pounds, 20 pounds, 20 pounds. You know, it's full of 4-pounders. So I don't necessarily know that it's going to be the guy that figures out how to get a 6 to 8 pound bite that's going to win, unless he knows how to also fill his sack with those 4-pounders. So I think that consistent 4-pound bite is going to really, you know, it'll make a run for it, at least. It'll be put a lot of guys in the top 10.
So one thing that I thought was interesting, I looked at the the Toyota Series on Grand Lake last year. It was March 16th through 18th, almost the same weekend we're in now. So I don't know what the weather was then. Obviously, Toyota Series, you can throw an A-rig. So that, I think, has some factor there. So that took last year to win it. Blake Capps won it with 59.06 last year. And he won by almost 7 pounds. Michael Harlan took second with 52.04. So I guess what does that break out to? Just about that 20 pounds a day in 3 day in Toyota Series stuff. So I think, you know, that's kind of right on par with what that was. And I don't know if John, if you were around during that time in March last year, I'm sure you were traveling and that sort of a thing, but I wonder what the weather difference was, you know, from last year to this year.
Yeah, I don't remember it being as warm as this year. I know that. Like, I've also been on Graham on April 1st. It was literally, I remember this day because it was the best fishing day I've ever had. My dad and I were there. It was April 1st. It was sleeting and snowing, 20-something degrees on April 1st. And the fish had not, you know, hadn't even spawned yet. So they were just stacked, and we were just catching the snot out of them. So, like, it can change really fast. But I think that there's going to be some fish push up and try. But I've also been on the water and on lakes around Grand, you know, not necessarily on Grand myself. And they're just not doing it yet. You know what I mean? Like, so somebody that finds it, if they've taken the risk and ran some crazy backwater up the river and they've got a little honey hole, and like they do that Kevin Van Dam prediction thing where they're like, they're not here now, but they will be tomorrow, and they guess it right, it could happen. But I don't think they're going to be able to do it 3 days in a row. So I think your constant guys to look out for are the guys that are going to be that mid-leg, the guys that have got a little bit of a couple different things going on. They can go up to the points and stuff and catch them, you know, jerk baiting, and then they can also, you know, back off and do a little bit of live scoping. I think that's going to be probably how a couple big ones are caught, for sure.
I will add, you will have a lot less anglers compared to that Toyota Series as well on the water fishing. That mm-hmm. makes a big difference. Yeah, these guys probably aren't beating the place up the past week when they're practicing versus Toyota Series week. It's a lot of fish get stuck during practice.
Dude, that is a great point.
I've also been on the water on Grand in March when it was 30 degrees and you couldn't catch a fish because it was a big shad kill. And, like, I mean, where 12 pounds was like a top 10. I've seen that happen on Grand before, too, where half the field blanks, you know, on big team tournament. So, but we just are not having those conditions. We're having very, very good conditions that are building up to, I think it's building up for a power fisherman deal. This is what it's building up to be.
That's awesome. That would be quite the show. If you guys have anything else for John, I guess last thing, John, for you, if you were to be asked, who would be your pick to win the Classic in your eyes?
I don't know how. I just don't know how you root against Jason Christie out there. I don't know if everybody really realizes how dominant he was. I mean, my oldest son's 16. His first steps in a bass boat were in Jason Christie's bass boat on a BFL in a Walmart parking lot. That, guess what? It was parked there because he was waiting for his trophy, his secret tournament that he just won. So, I know the odds are against somebody that's been that close in that body of water so much, but I really think that he's got a top five in him again.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is like very similar to what we were just talking about beginning in the show of like, we're on Lake Fork. How do you can't not go with Livesey? You know, it's kind of one of those deals. I feel like for Grant on this case, like you're kind of crazy if you don't pick Christie in this one.
Yeah, it's not just Christie on Grant, but it's on Christie on Grant on this time of year too. I mean, you go back and look at the BFL wins. He's won a lot of tournaments, you know, slow rolling, spinnerbait and stuff this time of year. And I think he knows, like, when it does pop off, when they do stage, I think he knows that one stump that's in the back of that one pocket that he can run to, make a few casts at and get out. As long as he doesn't have 100 boats following him like last time, you know, as long as people are, that's going to be the deal. If Christie can move around and function the way he needs to, he's going to be a lot more dangerous than if he's got 50 boats to 100 boats following him.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember who it was we were talking with, but there's that picture from Hartwell, not the one he won, but the one that he lost in the last day that was leading into day three. But there was like one cut he was in, and it was like 150 boats in this little creek with him. It was like How do you try to compete with that? Like, it's almost impossible. You got that much just disrupting everything. But yeah,
I was his camera boat, whatever year that was, and he lost to Edwin, and the chase boat, not, you know what I mean. And he had, when he turned around and had a run out of an area, he would have to idle for 10 or 15 minutes instead of getting on pad. And he did everywhere he stopped. He must have lost. I've heard people say 45 minutes. He must have lost an hour and a half. And plus, it's the mental game that it changes the way you fish. So, I mean, that could be a huge factor. You know what I mean? It really, really, really could if he doesn't. But if he doesn't have that, I think these fish are up shallow enough. There's a lot of guys scoping for the right reasons, right? It's dominating. So everybody knows that they can figure it out scoping. They can blow this thing away. I think Jason has enough old school shallow 3 to 5 foot spots that don't need scope in them that he can run, that it can be really dangerous.
Heck yeah. Well, fellas, you guys got anything left for John here? No? Well, John, seriously appreciate you taking the time to give us the full download to these, us. I mean, obviously we got Jonathan Kelly here, but he speaks for all of us armchair quarterback. We got nothing to say about Grand Lake. So we appreciate it, man, for real. And looking forward to seeing you this week, man.
Yeah. Come check us out at the Savemore booth. Got a Savemore booth going on, kind of our coming out, our grand opening.
Yeah. We'll be sure to come by there. Anything else people should know for you this week if they're going to the Classic beyond come to the Savemore booth?
No. All I know right now is business. I just got my boat back today. So that was nice. Back?
You break it?
Yeah, I broke it. I put a hole in it on fork, and I missed a day and a half practice, and I had to fish out of another boat, borrowed boat, and I let that bother me on day one, but then I let it, you know, go, and then I caught him again on day two. But so since then, I've probably been on the phone 2 hours every day. The boat went back to the blade. Blazer took it. They went all the way back to Florida. They pulled the hole off, replaced the hole, got it rewrapped, and it came to me today, and I spent the last 6 hours re-rigging it.
So, wow.
It's been a... It's just a part of the. Meanwhile, we got to get busy, you know, do business and stuff like that. So I'm sure that Jonathan's got stories like that too. But last 2 or 3 years, I think I've had to re-rig a double, two boats in the last 2 seasons for sure. Double rafted.
I know.
You think you get started and it just starts over.
That could be a nightmare, I feel, for you. Last year after St. Clair on the way home, got in an accident, hour from the house. So I had a week and a half to get a new boat, fully rig it, and get up to Champlain and all that. I can only imagine it'd be worse in your case during the actual event itself. So, I feel for you.
Oh, gosh. That's insane.
Yeah. Well, John, sorry. In the MPFL, the only person I wouldn't have loaned a boat to was John. I remember, I think it was, what was it, Harris Chain? What was it where I had to get under the bow of the boat and lift up so you could get it on the trailer?
Hey, I don't think people know that I went through a whole season where after every event, I'm in the parking lot and I'm putting Flex Seal and Gorilla Tape underneath my hole for an entire after every event. And when we finally just, you know, said, hey, it's too much, man, the gap was like that wide all the way down the center. Like after every single event, Gorilla Tape wasn't, I mean, the Flex Seal would make it not leak, but Flex Seal was so soft that as soon as I touched a tree limb, it would rip it. So that's why we had like layers of Gorilla Tape, you know? And so, yeah.
Jeez, that's insane, man. Yeah. That's crazy. Yeah. Well, John, thank you so much, man. And again, looking forward to seeing you this week, dude.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me.
Have a good night.
Look, buddy.
Yep.
All right. Well, you guys got it right there. One of the best to hear from that's not actually in the Classic that knows Grand Lake very well. So thank you again to Mr. John Soakup. Again, like you said, go to the check out the Save More booth. But fellas, shall we get into our picks? Mm-hmm. All right. Let me bring up screen here.
I just have to say that if he was in this Classic, I probably would pick him.
I think a lot of people would.
I think you would have to not. Yeah. I hope they would put him in a bucket where you didn't even have to think about it twice, but he'd be a no brainer. He like that. I think Grand Lake is like a think on your feet, random adjustment type lake. You know what I mean? Where somebody goes and does something dumb to win and he's good at that stuff. You know what I mean? Like Evers burning up the thing. Like he did an open there a couple years ago without practice. He's like, I actually do better. I just show up and fish, you know?
Yeah. In 2021, he has a fourth place finish here.
Yeah. And he didn't even practice. He just rolled in and smoked him.
I feel like when it's on your home turf, it's almost better
to not practice.
Yeah.
Agree.
But all right. So how we're going to roll with this, we will continue our way of doing it from the last show where our winner has to go first for these shows? Or was it loser has to go first? Which one was it?
Winner. Winner's winner like cornhole, right? Yep, winner goes first.
All right. So then, all right, Boomer, that means
you but are hey, up. But can Jonathan Kelly go first, then me?
Yeah, we can do that. I guess we can have our guest.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go first.
Yeah.
nobody can take my pick, though.
Ooh, I like
that. I'll let you know.
Sarah will do that. Don't worry.
Sarah's got it.
Yep. Pick the highest percentage in each bucket, and Brennan will have nobody to pick.
Also true.
JK. Yeah, somebody reminded me to click on the own percentage. Thank you, sir. I keep forgetting to do that. All right, Jonathan, who you got, man? Guess the show.
Oh, gosh, I didn't see that one other name in there. I thought this one was going to be easier. I was easily going to say Easton Fothergill. The kid's on a roll. I don't personally know him, just have seen what he's done in tournaments lately. But you happen to throw Tyler Williams up into the top there, and I was like, that's a tough one. He's rolling too. But I'll stick to what I originally saw. I'm going to go with Easton.
Yeah, I mean, dude, that's actually been really impressive watching him in the Opens because he's, what, sitting fourth?
Yeah.
Fourth,
on his way, Opens? For sure. Yeah.
Would not be surprised if we see him in the top nine at the end of
Absolutely.
The year. Absolutely. Boomer, who you got, man?
Hey, real quick. This Tyler is in the wrong bucket, right? With his start to the season. Don't you think that's the wrong bucket?
Well, and like Kyle in there.
Kyle Patrick.
Well, it's because those guys are the – They won the Opens, so that's why.
Oh, gotcha. All right, I'm going off reservation. I'm going David Gaston.
Oh,
only because I know he's a shallow water machine and he's pretty good there. I really want to take Tyler Williams.
If they're biting a jig, he's probably gonna catch them.
Yeah.
No joke.
Yeah, no kidding.
Kid is good.
All right, Deacon, who you got?
Dude, it was tough for me. Bucket E, the two hardest buckets to me on this one was Bucket E and Bucket B, I believe. And Bucket E, it was like, man, I had earlier this week, I had Tyler Williams picked. I had Kyle Patrick picked. And then, man, Easton Fothergill to me is fishing absolutely lights out. So I'm going rookie even, you know, compared to these guys who are already in the elites, someone who's right on his way based off of the Opens finishes and the classic college classic to get into here. So man, I'm going to Easton Fothergill. I also remember fishing the Central Toyota Series. A lot of those guys from Minnesota and Wisconsin would work their way down to Grand every year. Like there was like, I just always remember being at the weigh-in and there was like 12 or 15 of those guys, not saying he necessarily does, but those Minnesota Wisconsin guys, they're not far from Grand, and a lot of them end up coming down before their lakes kind of freeze out and that kind of a thing. So anyways, Easton Fothergill's my pick.
Heck yeah. Well, you weren't supposed to pick the pro pick, Deacon. You broke the rules.
Told you guys. What I said.
Yeah. Always cheating.
The rules nowadays.
Here we go.
Here we go.
Oh, that's funny. So Deacon kind of actually explained it perfectly. I'm trying to take a run at this thing and kind of shake things up and give us some odd picks for this one. I don't know. I'm kind of feeling freaky for the classic here just because it's a whole different event.
You want me to pick like guys. One curveball in each bracket too?
Yeah, we'll save the curveball for the end then.
Okay.
Because then you're going to have half the guys in here that'll change their
we'll
answer.
Pick up, yeah, we'll curveball. Pick your
particularly Sarah.
Incredible.
By the way, John, it is not Adam anymore. It's either Sarah or Sheikin. That is what he goes by.
We've got all sorts of different names, you know. Deacon,
we have a whole
Adam,
trophy
Sarah.
For the loser called the Sheikin at the end of the year.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's right. And guess who has never won the Sheikin? Sheikin
yet. But with that, now Deacon, you made a great point. The guys in Minnesota and Wisconsin, and I vividly remember this, was it 2 years back when we had Bartuzik on talking about guys from Minnesota and Wisconsin, the Midwest with a grand. And that's why I'm kind of going with a sneakier pick here. We've had him on the show before, but I'm going with Adam Rasmussen for this one.
I looked hard at him.
And you fall. I like that. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And that. So who we got next?
Who in that group has actually fished a classic before?
I want to say is Rasmussen. No, I don't think Rasmussen.
Not like anyone.
I mean, we got a high
someone else from Minnesota. Maybe it was.
Yeah, I don't think anyone has.
Here's the deal. Your first classic.
Actually, what about Cole? Has Cole Sands fished one?
I don't think so.
Nope.
Did he win an open 2 years ago?
Mm-mm.
Okay. Him or Matt Messer for some reason stand out at me. They might have.
Yeah, I don't believe so because I'm pretty sure I saw Cole's social media post this week like talking about going to like his first classic.
Okay.
And so.
Well, one shout out here too is this Aaron Yavorsky kid is literally in high school.
Mm-hmm.
No way.
That's yeah. Cool. Can you imagine that? The 0.5% he has picked is probably his entire high school that's picked him in fantasy.
I love it.
Good for him, though, dude. His little name is called Scope Goat on Instagram.
Oh, that's dangerous.
Oh, no.
Yeah. But, all right, Andy, who you got, man?
I think over the last 4 days cycled through Williams, Patrick, and Fothergill, and I even cycled Sands in a little bit. But I'm going Easton Fothergill. The guy's on fire.
Dang. All right. Another vote for Fothergill. Okay.
No one says anything to Andy when he picks another pick that has been picked.
Normally, twice. I just kind of float on my own breeze here.
Oh, right? Sounds fine to me.
Andy does his own thing. Andy's gonna take all of his usual go-to guys, Hackney and Christy, and he does his thing. Sarah, you just go by it. You just cheat, man. That's all
right. I'm going to tell you this right now. I do not have Hackney or Christy in my
what? Come Andy, on. That's not like you. Is it because you've been getting beat by young guys?
I mean, at Fork, Swindle ruined me. Like, I thought that was my safe pick, and they finished like 90th. And I was like, I'm done. I can't hold on the old guys.
He's selling all of his stock in the guys that have been around forever. He's like, nah, they're out.
And then Andy's not like, I have an age anymore. Limit of 25.
30 and less.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, literally. It's not a bad rule to live by this year, right? So, like, why not?
No.
That's a good point. John, how old are you?
28.
Just a little too old, John. Sorry.
Just a little too old.
I'm casting at it.
Yeah. That's awesome. All right, Brendan, round us out, dude.
So, I had to go Tyler Williams. He's too hot right now, and I'm not in the position to gamble too much, particularly in Bucket E. So had to go Tyler Williams on this one.
You just went, yep, 44%. Take him, boys.
Well, I mean, man, come on, look where I'm at. All right,
it's touche.
It's Bucket E. We can't get too crazy here. We can't get too risky.
I do want to say though, while Tyler Williams is known as the jig guy, Kyle Patrick is wicked with a jig as well. Don't count him out here. I was. Very, very. It was between Rasmussen and Kyle Patrick for me in this. Kyle Patrick more just on the sense of hometown boy. Like I wanted to, you know, favoritism pick, but also in the pure fact that he's also fishing pretty free right now. If you guys haven't checked out his YouTube, I mean, again, a little bit of bias here because we know the guy well, but the dude is a very like, if you could give like a splash of Ike go crazy after you catch a fish, it's Kyle. it's pretty entertaining.
The shaky hands, like I just love it. The dude is
he defines being jacked up on Mountain Dew.
Yes. He always sees him for his opens picture.
Yeah, Baja Blast. Yeah,
dude, he needs a Baja Blast jersey ASAP. We need Taco Bell and Baja Blast and Mountain Dew to team up. Like, let's go.
Yeah, yeah. Hey Siri, what does Baja Blast look like? And it's his opens picture from last year. Yeah, so yeah, good. Exactly. Oh, hold on. My phone's actually Siri's talking to me. Hold on. Yeah, dude. That it's the picture of or not the picture in the video. His first catch on Fork literally was a 9.5 pounder, and his hand trying to remove the hook was just
exactly.
It was awesome.
I just love it. That's the that right there is why tournament bass fishing trumps everything for me is that feeling when you catch a big one tournament day and you're just like, oh my gosh, like I can't even, oh, I love it.
Yep.
That's pretty good that Siri picked that up.
Yeah.
That's
funny. People in the comments are saying Siri picked up me saying Siri.
That's wild.
That's amazing. All right, John, you said you had a curveball for each of these.
We'll call it the dark horse of every bracket. I'm going to go with Powell Kemp. Oh. I know not hardly anything about him, but I just know he's probably an old school angler. And based off of where he's from and the open he won, when it comes to throwing a crankbait and a jig shallow, those guys from that area of the country dominate. So if that's going to play and he's going to have a lot of room with a lot of guys just focusing on scoping and stuff like that, I feel like he's going to spend probably most of his time shallow practicing. Maybe he comes across the right couple stretches.
I love that.
I like that too. And North Carolina, I mean, also jerkbait, right? Like it sets up a lot like grand stuff. That's great.
Talk about the coolest town name, Scotland Neck. I don't know why. That is just nice. Where are you from, man? Scotland Neck.
Right? Right.
He probably just said he's from the neck.
Yeah. From the
neck. Neck. Down around the neck.
Yeah, I'm down there by neck, like south of Scotland, but in the neck.
Where are you from, Scotland? What?
It's wild.
Awesome. All right. Boomer. Actually, sorry, John. Guest, lead the way for Bucket D.
Gotta fix my pick every time he says
it. The last pick, I can't
see. One sec. We had no one chose Kyle Patrick in Bucket D.
Nobody.
Out of us. Wow. Yeah. That
hopefully
is.
Nobody shows in this because
he wants to change.
Dude, yeah. Like, I feel like, yeah, that's one that needs to be picked by one of us. But anyways,
he's gonna be mad at us.
He'll be all right.
What you got, John?
I'll go with Clark Winlet.
Ooh, okay. 3.3%.
Spend some time on Grand. There's no doubt about it.
Any reasoning behind that pick, or just feeling Clark on this?
Pretty sure I watched his social media post the other day. Said he had a pretty good practice, got some fish.
Yeah, I mean, hey, take your info how it comes.
I feel like it's one of those tournaments where someone is going to be able to fish on the shallower side. So that's kind of where I'm going with it. Seeing that weather on the final day being windy, that's going to take away a scoper only angler. So I'm going to try to pick all my picks probably in the middle, either bank fisherman or a little bit of everything.
I love it. Yeah. Who was it? Was it Deacon? Was it you that said you'd love to see a Clark win? Somebody told me recently they'd love to see
Clark. I don't know if it was me, but I love watching.
Oh, Clark's no, it was Andrew fish. Hayes. It was Andrew Hayes that told me that. You guys look similar. Apologies.
He doesn't have a classic win in his history. He's got a ton of AOIs, though, right? Like, he's never won the classic.
I think he's got Forestwood Cups.
Yeah,
that sounds right.
He's an FLW guy for a long time.
Yeah. But he did win one.
And hey, one thing to remember.
First or second year of Bass, he won AOI.
Yeah. Mm.
All right. Boomer, who you got?
I got the hammer.
The hammer. Dude, I love that. I'd be so happy if Hamner won it.
Oh. I would too. I would have picked him. I just don't want to pick the top guy every time. So
leave that up to me.
Leave that to Brennan picking chalk.
Yeah. Well, I'm not gonna take Brian anymore because he augured in.
that was my dark horse in this one. That was 100% my dark horse. He is 0.7% and he's done well on Grand, and that's someone that is, I don't know.
Just do it, like, Boomer. Take him.
The hard thing is I don't want to take anybody who it's their first classic if I can avoid him. Because I feel like the tidal wave of the classic, it's just so hard to overcome. You know what I mean? Just the amount of the energy and the fact that it doesn't look like any other tournament. Practice is goofy. You know what I mean? You get 3 days a month ago. And then, but I know that Bryant did pre-practice for 4 days or 5 days down there before it went off limits. Like, I know he put his time in and he's good. The place suits him, but if we stick to that offshore jerkbait scoper type dude, Hamner's a scoper, like a jerkbait machine scoper.
Scoping machine.
Yeah.
Machine.
Yeah. Last, if you guys remember last year when they hit Champlain and we had Brian on, and Brian was like, I'm stinking or I suck. And then the next day I talked to him after our show and he got on that offshore thing. And then I think he got fourth or fifth, right? Right. Well, the guy that put him on that offshore thing was Hamner.
Wow.
Hamner's like, here's what you need to do.
Anyway. Dude,
the ham.
He is one of the most happy go lucky fish free anglers, I feel like, because he's just always like on top of the world, it seems like, because he's just out there enjoying himself.
Dude, nothing brought me more joy than watching him on four. That was an absolute blast. It was like him and Tyler Williams. They were just giggling every time they had a fish on. And I was like, this is so good. I just was eating the fork coverage up because of that.
Oh, yeah. You got handshakers and gigglers. Like, there's no better recipe for high quality bass fishing television, right? Like,
mm-hmm. Yeah, we had him on after fork and he caught that 11, and he's like, we're asking him about it. He goes, honestly, I don't remember anything. I kind of blacked out. And he's like, after you saw this cameraman, he goes, am I shaking or is it just me? He's like, never in my life have I had to sit down after I caught a fish and like chill for a second. And I'm like, that's it right there. Yeah, that's why.
Yeah.
That's awesome. All right, Deacon, who you got?
Who do you think I got, man? We've been talking about him for the last whatever.
All right, skip on down to Hamner. I got Hamner too.
You going Park Wendland?
No, I'm going Hamner all day. And yet, the way this is setting up, I've been on Grand a couple of times in March this time of year, and it's always like a rig, crankbait, jerkbait jig. Like, that's what it is. When you can throw an A-rig, can't throw an A-rig here. So to me, like, I think the jerkbait is going to be absolute player. The dude's incredible with it. Whether that be, and most of the time now, right, you're scoping with a jerkbait, but fishing it shallow, fishing it out, I just don't see how Hamner doesn't do great. And not to mention, he's fishing incredibly well right now.
He's loose.
Fourth. Isn't he fourth in AOI?
Something like that. But yeah, you guys made my explanation easy because, yeah, I'm going Hamner too. I think the only thing I'd add on top of that is he wins. I'm missing my flight Monday morning.
Good and part. Yeah, it can't happen to a better dude. That would be
great. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah, there's a lot of guys here that I'll say, like, I'll be genuinely very happy for if they win. But there's a couple of those guys, those buddies that we have that are like, yeah, we'll go a little bit hard in the after party if those guys win. Yeah, definitely with that. Andy, who you got, dude?
You know, I thought D was actually a little bit tougher of a bracket to pick from, like, besides just Justin Hamner. I like Patty Schlopper could be a good pick. Mm-hmm. Carl with a jig. He's had some really impressive tournaments throwing a jig.
In Oklahoma.
Ten-killer. Yeah.
Ten-killer.
Taku is always a really good choice. But, yeah, I'm going to round it out. I took Hamner as well.
You say all that, and then you just go back to Hamner.
A long way back to center there, buddy.
I couldn't just say that I took Hamner. I had to talk about it for a second, all right? Because everyone's just like, yep, I took Hamner. So got to lead you around the bush here.
Hey, I got a question for Jonathan.
Shoot.
So you see these guys that are scopers and they switch back and forth. Do you have any math between when the scope goes to the jig head minnow versus the jerk bait? You know, we've seen two tournaments, right? One definitely jig head minnow, one jerk bait. Is there a scenario that causes that? Could we see it with the wind or?
I think with the fork one, a lot of guys fished way shallower than you guys probably thought watching it on camera. Like, a lot of guys were in 8 foot or less, where I think a lot of people viewing it just think scope 30, 40, 50 feet. A lot of fish got caught shallow at fork. So I think just when you get in that shallow where it's hard with that jig head minnow, it's even with an 1/8 ounce, it hits the water and it just right past them or scares them. Actually, more so scares them.
The jig head does?
Like that big.
Up shallow?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
They don't like that. They don't like something falling by them so fast, you think?
Yeah. And then that comes down to, it's like, your only other option is throwing a long cast and kind of just trying to reel it to them. But I feel like, especially in our first two events, it seemed like you had to hit them right on the head and get them to react. Like, for me, the couple fish I seen, you know, a couple clips I seen after the tournament watching live, same thing. Like, guys were catching them on the cast. It wasn't like anyone was like, kind of how Koya does a lot, where he swims it all the way to them and then just cracks them. It seemed like those fish just wanted to be hit in the head in both places start the season. So I think that's where it varies. It seems like when you do go in 20 feet or deeper, the jerk bait comes out of play just because those, unless those fish are sitting way high, but I just don't think they really, for the most part, were at many of the places yet. You know, I think some got caught like that at Toledo, but the majority there was on the minnow just because they were out deeper.
That's a really good point. We forgot our unforeseeable category here called Jim Johnson, the curse of all Bassmaster Fantasy Fishing. Said that he picked him. Thankfully, Andy went in the comments and said, Jim, change your pick right now. So, John, Jim Johnson, for whatever reason, is the ultimate curse when it comes to fantasy fishing. Whoever he picks sucks.
Who did he pick?
He picked Hamner. So we're trying to tell him he's an easy to pick.
You guys are screwed.
I love it. All right, Brennan, who you got? Round us out for Bucket D.
I went with the Missouri kid, Cody Huff. Obviously got some experience here on Grand. Has an 8th place finish here in 2021. I just think in terms of names, people that stand out to me for people that are going to intentionally try to stay behind fish that aren't funneling up shallow, right? His name comes to the top of the list in my mind for people to chase him offshore and stay behind fish. So I'm going Cody Huff.
Yeah, I can see that for sure. Any dark horses in here, John?
I got a really good one.
Okay.
Carl Jacobson. Water, we heard John say it, water is clear. There's a lot of docks on Grand. The water's between 52 and 60. Sounds very glide baity to me.
Gloida.
That's very serious becoming
a very similar to when he did very well at Chickamauga on a glide bait 2 years ago.
I could see that play. You think that's consistent though for 3 days?
Well, that's what I mean. That's why he's a dark horse. It's a risky pattern, it's a risky way to go. Guarantee one of those 3 days of the tournament is going to be tough for that bite.
I'm all about that.
I'll go on record saying that he's the best glide bait fisherman in the elites. I'll go on record for that. I'll even have t-shirts made. I think
between him, Milliken, or Zaldane, you're going to take Carl?
Wow. I'll take Carl.
Mm-hmm. Damn. That's stout.
And Paul.
I've heard some stories and like, yeah. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't really matter for what we're doing here, but.
Yes, it does. Because there's another bracket that we didn't know about. The glide game.
He's the guy that like lived and died with it for like 4 or 5 seasons, though. You know what I mean?
True.
He got as close to a all glide bait win and a major championship as anybody, I think, right? When he almost won remember when the Open set championships? The Bassmaster Open Championship. I can't remember what it was called. I can't remember where it was at. I think it was on Gunnersville. But he almost won just on a glide bait, nothing else. Lost the last day.
Boomer, I think Bass Fanatic needs a story behind the one you told us with.
Brandon is better than Carl. I know for a fact that Brandon may not say it out loud, but when they show up on somewhere and a glide bait fish needs to get caught, Brandon says, Carl, get him. Carl. I know for a fact.
Carl, yeah. Sick of Carl. Think,
who was it? It was Brandon, Carl, and the guy from Oklahoma that used to be on the Elites. Super cool guy. Can't remember his name. Anyways, long story short, Carl was in the back of the boat, and they were fishing up a river up here in the Northwest for Brandon's bachelor party. And they'd go by a bush. And they'd fish it, and then Carl would go by the bush with a glide bait and catch a 4 out of it. And he said it was so upset him so much that he sat down. And Carl was like in the back of the boat behind these 2 elite guys. He just pitched a glide bait into the bush and
catch. Was it Hallman, Boomer?
No.
Who else would it be?
I feel bad that I can't remember his name because he's such a stud.
Was it Kevin? James E. Oh.
He was an elite.
Kevin Ledoux.
Was an elite in 15 and 16. Kevin was like, it was mind numbing. Like, he goes, you look at this bush and you know, we fished it. Me and Brandon fished it really good. And they go by it and Carl would catch one out of it after the boat damn near floated over the top of it with a glide bait.
That's awesome.
This is a pretty funny story.
Yeah. Anyways. All right, John, who we got for Bucket C?
All right.
So I got a question. How did Joey Nenea end up in this bracket?
Probably because it's like his fifth classic he qualified.
Is it?
Yeah.
I don't know. I think he's qualified.
I think it's his second or third.
I'm going to go with Jay Shakir.
Ooh,
I like that.
This is one of the tougher brackets.
I'm putting my hands up now so nobody thinks I switched my pick.
Jay just catches him everywhere. Like, even when he's not on him, he catches them. And he's a really good fisherman all around. He can adapt. Like, I mean, you've seen day one at Fork. I think he got 20 pounds off the bed. And he goes, oh, 20 pounds only got me this place. Well, I guess can't do that the next day. And then went and caught like 30 some. And then I think on the third day caught 36. Like, crazy weight. So
I could see it, honestly. It's one of those things, like, I feel like he's like becoming, I'm not gonna make this direct comparison yet, obviously, because Jay's still pretty dang young, but he's like one of those guys like Brandon Polinick, where you can, he's always a safe pick regardless of whatever location you go to. He's gonna figure something out.
Yeah, like, I feel like he's gonna at least be making the third day.
Right. Yeah, he's gonna cash a check.
They all cash checks at the club.
Well, I'm saying like
Captain got him.
Damn it.
Damn it, Andy.
Sorry. There, you just set the moment up like I was like, I have to take a shot.
Oh, I'm
sorry.
Yeah. Don't apologize. It's fantasy, man. Swing away. What you got, Boomer?
I want you to quantify the Joey Nenea statement. Why'd you ask that?
Quantify it?
Yeah, money? Jonathan said, how does qualify Joey end up? Yeah. Well,
like, I thought all the opens guys were in bracket E.
Oh, that's right.
Like, maybe it made sense. That whole bracket E was filled of the opens winners. So it just was odd to see his name in this one when all those were in E.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think he's a kid that could.
Well, he's made the classic, I think, right?
Yeah.
A couple of times.
Yeah, four or five times. Yeah. He won the Junior Bassmaster Classic 2 years in a row when he was a kid. He's from he grew up a mile from my house.
I only see one classic on two. His record.
Nope, now it's two.
This will be two.
It's two, yeah. Sorry. Yeah,
well, now it's two.
Well, and I said four. I thought he fished
2023 as well.
The juniors.
Am I crazy? I thought he fished 2023, but weird. Oh, all right, never mind. Did you make your pick? Right.
I went straight up Brennan Koya.
Koya.
I only did it twice. I got some crazy picks at the top, but Koya is just insane right now. He's hard to take over.
Is he going to catch him cranking?
That is the crazy part. I don't know.
Does he own a crankbait?
Does it matter?
I'm with you, though. I don't think you can bet against the guy. Like, he's just fire.
He's just going to go in like an area that he can catch him on scope doing what he wants to do, even if it's community hole, and he's going to catch him.
Mm-hmm. It's like another one. It's like a guaranteed, almost guaranteed lock to make the third day.
To cash a check.
Yeah, to type of pay, to cash a check. Yeah. So I say it outright.
That's kind of a good pick for bucket C, though. If you have check casher, like, it's a good position.
Well, no matter what, you can't ignore momentum. Uh-huh. Not in this sport. You can't ignore the fact that he's just steamrolling.
Yeah, like his last four or five elite tournaments, like, great. Like, he's top 20 in every one almost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's John, I'm curious what you've seen, but like Hamner was telling us that guys are always trying to sneak a look into his boat. And he's like, he comes in and it's like, rod locker's locked with all the rods put away. Nothing. The deck is cleaned with any spare baits. Like, are guys really trying that hard to cop some looks at Koi's boat?
I'm sure, but I really think I'm pretty sure he really does just throw a drift fry and the Sakamata. Like, I don't think there's much other craziness to it. I'm pretty sure he sticks to those. I fished next to him. I mean, obviously, I didn't have the luck he had.
So, something really cool. I was actually listening to it today. Mercer always gets Jake Latondras on for his Jake's take, he calls it. Mm-hmm. And he was talking about how when he was with Kyoya on Toledo Bend, that Kyoya made Jake stand in a specific spot on the boat so that it was perfectly like 90 degrees with his transducer. Because if he was on any other part, his transducer would be slightly like crooked because the boat would be leaning a certain way.
Oh, interesting.
And like he's that dialed into his forward facing sonar.
Jeez.
Wow. That like that I literally slowed down and went off cruise control when he said that because I was like, wait a second, what did he just say? It was kind of mind blowing that they get that dialed in because I don't know if anybody else is
thinking. No, I mean the rest of us are just like, ooh, fish, throw it that way.
Cast.
it's incredible, man. I would love to. I mean, I'm it's hilarious the amount he goes to like apparently he's the last boat in every morning because he wants to ignore or get away from the media so they don't try to expose anything or something. That I just find comical. I think it's just funny, but love to just study the guy. I forgot who we're on. Who's supposed to go next? Is Deacon? Are you up?
Yeah. This is probably my riskiest pick of this event. And the last couple events, to be honest, I've been pretty heavy on chalk for the most part with things, and it served me well. But man, I'm going Joey Nania on this, and I know that we're kind of talking about Bucket E supposed to be there, but I just think back to some of the events on Grand down by the dam of guys jig head minnowing really kind of before we saw the big scope movement and a couple of those creek arms, I don't remember the names of them, by all the sailboats and all that kind of stuff, just out in the middle, college kids doing it, a couple Toyota Series guys doing very well jig head minnowing, even when I was in that event catching them on the bank, like they were still fish out, as we know now with forward facing how often that occurs. So I think it's a little bit of a risky pick on my end compared to some of the folks in Bucket C. I had a hard time not selecting Jay Shakirat. And then Cifuentes has led me astray for two events now. So I'm not as high on Cifuentes as it has been, unfortunately, because he's been an absolute hammer for me in years past. But going to Nia in Bucket C as my risky pick.
God damn it, Deacon.
It's fun.
I swear to God, I was going to Nia too. Like,
no way.
No way, dude. That's the.
I have it on. Hold on. I'll prove that I'm not.
We believe you, Bailey. We believe you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Edward. We've been picking a lot.
Oh, that's crazy.
Don't listen to Sarah now, everybody. That's strange. He's a bad boy.
Don't listen to Sarah
now. He's a bad boy.
Oh, man. I don't know what else to say beyond that. That he's just, for whatever reason, like we were just talking about, it seems like he's been in a couple of classics. But apparently it's only been one, including to this year. But he did well in the Classic and at Hartwell. Like, he was in the top 10 going to the last day. So, like, he's not afraid of the big stage. And he won the Eufaula Oklahoma Open, which I believe is why he's in this event.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I could see Nania, man. Like, I just, it's like you said, Deacon, perfectly. It's a big risk, but one that could certainly pay off dividends on this.
He was, and he did good at Hartwell. Like, he had a camera in his boat, I think, on day two. Like, he won't be shocked by this. Like, this, it's just a derby for him. I agree with you guys. I can't believe I didn't take him. Now I can't switch.
We got a comment here. Says, apparently Kyle Patrick on Bass U Live said that everyone's saying it sucks out there. Well, so you got guys that go out there, and John, you can speak this way better than we can, but guys are probably saying it sucks because they're not catching fish because they're not sticking any fish.
Dude, I don't think any elite guy had a bite in practice at Lake Fork.
From who you talk to, or are you just saying that? I think he's just saying that. Yeah, I feel like you can't read too awesome. Much into that. Yeah,
I swear. Yeah, I remember, I think it was Prosnick on the one day weigh, and he's like, all these guys, they ain't caught a fish all practice. And then 8 o'clock at night, day before a tournament, everyone's holding up these giant fish, can't wait to get out there. He goes, what the fuck?
Well, what's the running joke now with Coop where it's just like, yeah, brutal practice and then 30 pounds? Like, it's like, get out of here, bro.
Coop will go, dude, I have no idea what I'm about to do tomorrow. And then just go out there and whack.
Just crack them.
You think he's just doing it on purpose now?
Two tournaments in a row.
Yeah. Oh, man. Fisherman.
Somebody should go through his back, like the backlog of his YouTube videos, even through the opens, because I've been watching his stuff for a while. He's got a great series called The Chase of how many times he's in his boat rigging with like his brother or his dad. He goes, practice was brutal. Don't know what we're going to do tomorrow. So we should just clip that and string all of them together.
Be good.
Like, I'm pretty sure he even said it the open he won on, was it Cherokee or something like that? Yeah, it's
hilarious. He's, right, like, I had two, he's like, I had two bites and 7 days of practice. It was brutal, and he freaking whacks him. I have an idea of what we're going to do.
Yeah. All right, Andy, I think you're up, man.
I was torn between Cifuentes and Coya, and I ended up going Coya. Just, he's on fire. You can't disregard that for a bucket C pick.
I think there's no explanation needed on that one.
Yeah, and I don't think he's going to allow the media to get anywhere near him, so he's just going to hide until day three.
I don't know, man. There's classic. It's literal media day. I think he's going to be
he's going to be the guy that's packing up the boat early and like, I'll take the fine.
I'm that's going to be his demise is the media day.
Yeah.
He's going to just hide in the bathroom the whole time with all of his baits.
Yep. He probably has.
I'm genuinely intrigued to see him at media day to see how many guys are going to try to be over there with cameras.
He's going to lie. He's going to be like, no English.
Yeah. No English.
He's going to have a big bottle of boat wax and he's just not going to ever get a rod out. Just for like 3 hours. Like,
boat go 2 miles an hour faster.
I know. It'll be the shiniest thing on the water. Yeah. That's never awesome. Get a rod out. Yeah.
That's amazing. All right, Brennan, round us out, dude.
I went Jay Shakirat. I've been high on Jay Shakirat since he qualified for the elites, just knowing, you know, his backstory, his dad, who's a phenomenal walleye angler in the National Walleye Tour. I don't know. I just think that these standout events, I don't know. I just got a feeling. So I'm going to go Jay Shakirat on this. Although Brandon Card secretly was hard not to pick here, too, with all of his Oklahoma success. So.
Yeah, I feel like he always shows up in
Oklahoma. Uh huh.
Doesn't it feel like
a North Carolina guy that translates directly to Oklahoma and back to North Carolina? You know, we all know that. Kind of.
But doesn't it feel like when we're talking about a classic, it always seems like day one Brandon Carr is out to a good start.
That and Matt Airy is another Bassmaster Classic, like just always right there in it.
Mm-hmm. Matt Airy is not in this, correct?
He is Group B.
Oh.
3.9% out.
And now Deacon's going to shoot.
She's thinking, doesn't it, Sarah? Huh.
Dude, that is interesting. Yeah. He has done extremely well at Grand in the FLW days, especially when they actually do get to that spawn, like right around when they're behind the docks and stuff. Like, whew.
But just look up classics, man. Like, look where Matt Airy's name is in Bassmaster Classics. Every single one of them, he's right there.
Shoot, dude, if he landed that frogfish at Ray Roberts, he probably would have won.
Yep.
Hartwell, when Christie won, it was him, Welcher, and Christie, right?
Aaron, I thought it was Stetson. Welcher, Stetson.
That's another one. But Stetson right Blaylock is always there in early season tournaments, always, and classics.
Clint, don't you talk Clint has about a good picks. Point here.
Don't you talk Yeah, I totally realizing and proving North that Carolina I wasn't copying moment. Deacon, I totally showed the rest of my hand for fantasy.
Yeah, you got a real wild card in Group B.
Yeah, I do. But it is what it is, boys. John, what do you got for a wild card for this one?
Joey Nenea.
Yeah, all right.
He's really good with that jig head minnow, and it's going to play. So,
oh boy.
I probably would have honestly picked him if Jay wasn't in this bracket.
Hey, Jim Johnson, can you pick Koya for us?
No thanks.
Okay. I think Kyoya is the kryptonite for Jim Johnson. It doesn't affect him.
It's the language barrier.
Yeah. Jeez. All right, John, Group B.
Phew, getting hard. Stetson.
Oh.
Change it, Boomer.
Boomer's like, damn.
Boomer, you were making that noise no matter what he said, weren't you?
John's like, oh, I mean Milliken. And Boomer's like, oh, that was my pick.
Oh, man. That was
I thought I was getting out of my lane. Like, yeah, going against the grain.
Going against the grain with 20%?
Yeah, with the guy who
has
Yeah, but there's not a social media outlet screen iPad that's not screaming Ben Milliken for the last 6 months in your ear. You know what I mean? If you pick somebody else, you are obviously going against the social wave. Anyways, I was trying to not go that route, but okay.
Yeah, we'll save it. That's a good point I actually want to bring up, but we'll save that towards the end once everyone's given their picks here. But obviously, Boomer, you're going for Stetson.
Well, and Jonathan probably has some better reasoning than I do, but you guys said it earlier. Like, he doesn't suck. He's amazing in the spring. And if they go to the bed, there's probably not a better bed fisherman. Yeah. Because wasn't his first elite win bed fishing? I think it was.
Was it Winya Bay or something? Wasn't that
they weren't. He wasn't visibly seeing them.
Oh yeah.
Yo, Bass Fanatic, stop giving up my picks, man. It's like every time, every group, he's like Dark Horses. Someone.
Interesting. Well, I can see that. He shows up at Classics.
We'll talk about it. God dang it. Whatever.
I didn't mean to cut. I wanted to hear Jonathan's reasoning. Sorry for cutting you off, buddy.
I just think he's just overall so well versatile angler. And I feel like Arkansas would fish similar to Oklahoma. I feel like those lakes are very similar. And it's the hot hand. He had a good start to the season.
Yeah. Whatever he just said, I said too.
I don't think I've ever picked Stetson and regretted it in fantasy.
It's a guarantee you probably take a check pick.
It is so consistent. And this is not far from his home. All the Arkansas guys fish all the Oklahoma lakes growing up, fishing tournaments there and championships and whatever else. And you just can't not. I don't know. It was between him and then when you said Matt Airy, that got me excited. But at the end of the day, I'm going Stetson and Bucket B.
Well, to add to that, Stetson has also taken a check in every single tournament last season and both two tournaments this season. So he's probably the only guy. I think he's the only guy that checked every tournament last year. Wow. Maybe there might be one other.
The elder to Luke Palmer.
Yeah. I feel like he's a not an if, but win for a classic win.
Yeah.
Because he's always in it the first day, especially since they, I don't know.
Since he moved over.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, we got some comments in here of, does Kenta Kimura live on Grand Lake?
Have you seen Kenta Kimura's success on Grand Lake specifically? Not just Oklahoma, but Grand Lake.
He like blows the doors off.
Oh, yeah.
Second.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. He owns the lake. Well, him and Jason Christie.
Yeah.
I mean, to be fair, Kenta lives on like every lake because he just fishes everywhere.
I thought I heard
he
something.
Has a temporary home on every lake.
He's not paying a lot of property taxes, you're saying?
Someone was saying that dude drinks like 5 to 7 Red Bulls every single day.
Oh, my God.
I mean, dude, have you seen the sunglass tan in his photo? Because it's fantastic.
I mean,
I think it's unmatched.
Yeah, I don't know if he drinks more Red Bulls or smokes more cigarettes.
Rival Brian Thrift?
Oh, for sure. I fished next to him 2 years ago at Pickwick, and it was like all day. I said, Kenta, just do not rip one when I'm downwind, like, because I hate that smell. That's all I asked. I said, we could fish together. Just don't rip a cig when I'm downwind.
Oh, man. So wow, like, Red Bull chugging chain smoker. I love it.
That's the most derby fisherman I've ever met. That's fantastic.
Dude, I got a couple buddies that will only smoke when it's Derby Day. Like, they don't smoke at all, and then they're like, I gotta pull up. I'm like, oh my God. Like, dude.
That's strategy, so they get more of a feeling from.
Yeah.
That's like the infinity of gambling addiction right there. Red Bulls and just
pumping. That's tournament.
It's always Marb Reds. Always. They must think they're like Dale Earnhardt or something.
Throwing darts, like, man.
Yeah,
it's the most bass fishing thing I've ever heard.
Was it Julius Maisie that said he wanted a Marble Red boat wrap?
Yeah.
Could you imagine?
Wow. So good.
The Marble Man of 2024 needs to be a bass fisherman.
Yeah, like.
That's amazing. So Alex Gaziano here says, had a buddy draw him in an open. He drank multiple Red Bulls and smoked at least a full pack during the tournament.
I mean, we're talking. Oh, it's
awesome. A tournament's only 8 hours.
That's insane, dude. Just put it up, just slap an IV in his arm, you know, like, let's go.
That's insane. Okay, who are we on? I forget. Who was up?
Deacon, you just went, right?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Stetson.
Oh. Okay, you went with Stetson. This one, dude, obviously we already know what I was picking, but Matt Robertson shows up in these classics. Mm-hmm. Like, from the legit format of there is no points in this. There's no nothing. The dude goes out just swinging. Like, I didn't
just you see that move too? How agile he was. He was like,
yeah. He's done that a time or two.
Yeah, no kidding. Getting the run of the shitter. dude, Robertson, for whatever, like, so was it which event was it? Hartwell last year. Like, he just, his approach to it, granted, obviously it wasn't that, not Hartwell, sorry, Murray last year. That wasn't a classic, but his approach to going after bigger caliber fish just shines brighter, I feel like, in these events, and he can definitely do that on Grand. I think there's something with Matt, dude, just the way he goes out, literally not giving a crap about a limit. He's just going to go for big bites.
Yeah, he was throwing the coal shad on Loudon.
Yeah, that's my dark horse pick for the exact reason you just said.
Well, yeah. So, yeah, last year, Tennessee River, what was it? Like, he had 2 5-pounders or something. He only had 3 fish for the day, but like 15 pounds or something ridiculous on day big one. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Throwing big swim bait. Like, I feel like there's something to that with Matt Robertson.
And just 2 weeks ago, I think he finished 2nd in a Toyota series throwing big swim bait. So I'm sure he's like, yeah, I'm just going to keep throwing that same swim bait.
There he is.
Atta boy.
Good job, Boomer. Welcome back, buddy.
Welcome back.
Hey, welcome back to the show, man.
That was very nice.
That was so good.
We love
it. Did I miss a good?
We just
one time,
we were waiting for you.
One time on it just reminded me of this because Boomer's laptop was facing down as he was running back into the room. One time there was this old dude on a Zoom work call that his entire laptop was just facing to his crotch the entire time. No. He just was talking, you know, and just having normal conversation. It's like, dude, what do we got going on here? Like, and you know, then Zoom picks it up when someone's talking. And you're just like, oh my God. Like, just wonderful.
That's incredible.
Oh, man.
All right. Andy, what do you got, dude?
I took Kenta.
Because of the comments?
Did you switch? No, I've had Kenta since like about a week ago when I chipped when these picks were available to pick. His track record on Grand is insane, and eventually his Opens records will translate to the Elite Series, and I think he's going to be one that does really well in this tournament.
All right. Brent, I'm going to – Yes,
yeah, just skip me. You know. Yeah, no, I'm going Ben, and it's only because he's the most percent owned. No, but honestly, I am going Ben. Obviously, the big bait thing that could play. Not going to go out and put it all out there and say that it will, but in the event that it does, his name is at the very top of the list for people that I see to have success with that. I don't know. I've talked to him a little bit about his practice, got a little back cursor on that. I've liked some things that I've heard. So I'm in the point where with my tournament or my fantasy fishing season that any inside information I can get, I have to exploit. So here we are.
Yeah. So this is what I wanted to talk about earlier is I've seen in this, obviously he's got a gigantic following, but I'm genuinely curious. I'm not going to take anything away from the guy because I wouldn't, like, if he wins the Classic, I wouldn't be surprised. And there's a lot of guys you could say that for, obviously. But I'm just curious why so many guys are steering towards him. Is it because of the fandom? Or does Grand set up like a East Texas lake? Like, I'm curious the reasoning behind it.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it definitely does in some ways. But I also look at Ben like Nebraska guy, Midwestern guy. Ton of success on lakes like Truman, Ozark region in general. A lot of that's going to translate to Grand. Yeah, I don't know. And look where he's at right now in AOI. You know, he's fishing hot. So,
yeah.
Now, Brendan, I do have this question for you. If he wasn't fishing hot, would you still have taken him?
Probably, yeah. I don't know, man. I just, for me, I guess, like I'm a fanboy and a friend, so I'm gonna take him. I don't know.
Ride or die. I love it.
Kind of ride or die, and he's kind of having a magic season. I don't know. It's pretty special. I'm going to keep rolling. What's
that noise? What is that? Somebody is jamming.
Who is that?
Oh, is it me?
It's Moore.
Are you watching something?
Oh, no, this is so good.
The girls, that's why I had to leave earlier. The girls just got home, and it's like a melee. I will. It's just party central around here. Sorry. Hang on. Let me.
What is going
Boomer, on? Boomer with crotch shots and just blaring music. Just love it. Can't tell who the boomer of the
He's like, screw this show. We're gonna play some music.
I can't believe you guys can hear it because I can't hear it.
Oh man, it was loud.
That was loud.
But anyway, if there was honestly a classic where I would say Ben, like, this lined up for him, this is probably the one, honestly.
Or Ray Roberts just next year.
Yeah, but just like with his style of fishing, how he grew up fishing, this is probably closer to what he grew up fishing than what he's fishing now in Texas. You know, well, so this
fishing
is
with Bambi very familiar to him. He cut his teeth on Grand apparently back in the day.
Oh, dude! Like, and just from knowing the Nebraska guys, like, that's every championship ever in Nebraska stuff is always on Grand. Like,
yeah, dude, this is should be good for him on paper. That doesn't mean it will be, but on paper, and it's the classic. It's his first one. He's going to swing for it. Why not? What's he got to lose? His dream's already come true.
Yeah. Hell yeah. All right. Yeah, and John, you said Dark Horse was Matt Robertson for this one?
Mm-hmm.
All right, last bucket. Do we need to say anything else? John, who you got?
Kyle Welcher.
Mm. Ooh. I like that. Any specific reasoning?
Or he's a grinder, but he knows how to do it all. Just finished second in the last classic, I believe.
Two classics
ago, so I think he's going to get some vengeance.
I like that. I'll be all in on a Kyle Welcher win. Boomer?
Patty Walters.
I mean, I don't think any of us will doubt that, but any reason why?
Fishing downhill again. I feel like he's won a lot. He knows how to win. I feel like if the Clearwater thing goes, like what John was saying, I think that's a deal. The only thing I don't have a ton of confidence, like any kind of reference, is if it just goes to a straight 2 inches of water fishing, I don't know if I've ever seen him like really compete in like the mud fishing, you know, but he's,
yeah, I don't know.
I feel like his rookie year on the Elite, he threw a crankbait a lot, like a DT6 up shallow. Like, yeah. I remember there was a Florida tournament, I think, like coming out Patty Walters' party that he was cranking before he had live scope or before he got really good at live scope.
I love MJ's comment here. Walters is a bold pick. It might not be shorts weather on Championship Sunday.
Thighs will not be out, boys.
I mean, that was my reason for not going with them.
Yeah.
If the thighs can be shown.
But if there's shorts under the bibs, does that still count?
No.
Oh, for sure. There's definitely short shorts under the bibs.
I mean, they're definitely there, but they don't count. They
Could you imagine if he goes rain jacket, bibs, but like cuts the bibs right where his shorts are?
Oh, dude, yeah.
It's his rally cap.
That's going to be the new style.
Dude, somebody's got to do that. He's got to lean into that because that would be
funny. At that rate, all he would need is a rain jacket.
Cheeky bibs.
He bends over. He bends over to like fix something on his graph. You're like, oh god.
Jeez, man, cheeky where bibs. Is this going?
We're sending that over to Blackfish. Hey, you got an idea? Trust us.
Hey, I have been telling Blackfish for the longest time to go shorter shorts because their shorts are like to the knees, and I'm like, I'm not quite a Patty Walter status, but I like shorter shorts. So
I got mine because they were too long for me. Exactly. They can't touch my kneecaps.
Yeah, exactly. I can't have knee shorts.
You
I
just get a little mid-thigh. Taller, guys. All right, like,
hey, I'm 6 foot, Andy. All right, I got mid thighs, 7-inch inseam.
You could have more torso than leg, though.
Short
I have a very small amount of torso. I got a weird body, man. I got long legs.
He says I am all legs.
Well, when you got people like short shorts don't work for me. No one wants to see big ass thighs on display.
That's exactly what people want in short shorts. What are you talking about?
I don't know, man. No one wants to see that.
I don't know how we got here.
Cheeky bibs. Blackfish, we got an idea. Cheeky bibs and crotchless waiters. Bring it on.
Crotchless waiters. Soon we're going to have assless chaps waiters on the fishing scene.
It's got Matt Robertson written all over it.
He's going to get fined all day long.
The show he did with Mercer, where he's like, you're telling me that you got that underwear sponsor and you didn't put me in your pitch. There's no way in hell. He goes, you guys got that without me. He wore the underwear during the tournament. That was so fun. I was literally crying driving in truck listening to that.
Oh, here we go. I think romper is the proper term. That's what romper's a blackfish romper.
Screw that. Cheeky waiters or cheeky bibs. I'm way better.
A romper could be cheeky bibs, I suppose. So it's one and the same, right? So,
hey, ICAST 2024, blackfish, cheeky bibs.
It'd win, too. That's about the quality of stuff that wins these days. Yeah. Oops, I shouldn't have said that. That didn't come from my mouth. Boomer said that.
I love late tackle industry takes from Brennan. They are so good.
Yeah, I got to be careful. I got
a couple around. Beers in. You know, he's like, I don't care if I lose my job. Let's talk
about it. What was that, Brennan? What was
that? I'm going to put a new piece of gum in right now and move on.
Oh, gosh. All right. Who's up? I think Boomer. I think you're up. No, you picked multiple. Come on. Deacon, you're up.
Dude, first of all, we're two picks in. No one has Jason Christie, and I won't either. Nothing against Christie, but Luke Palmer, man, fishing incredibly well. He's a guy that has become super consistent, and talk about a guy that grew up in Oklahoma, can go fish the bank very, very well, but we've also seen him be very deadly on scope. And in my opinion, I think that's what's going to win this tournament, someone who's doing a little bit of both. So, man, I'm going Luke Palmer. I hope that this is a classic for him.
You changed your picks. You saw my paper.
Dude, Bailey, stop copying my picks. You're clearly behind me.
I've had it on paper the whole time. Yeah, Palmer's another one of them boys that if he wins, I'm missing my flight Monday. I have no other reasoning behind that. Deacon, yeah, he said
it was close at Hartwell too, wasn't he?
He was top five.
Yeah,
I think he's fourth.
Very well,
fourth, I think, something like that.
Just another, like you said, he's just like Stetson. It's never a bad pick to roll with Palmer. It's guaranteed consistency. He's gonna catch it. Yeah.
Well, we are four picks in with two guys left, and no one's picked Jason Christie yet.
That is wild to me.
And I already preluded. I am not taking Jason Christie either.
Wow.
Yeah.
So. Brennan's like, switching my pick, boys.
No, we already know Brennan.
I'm telling you right now, I'm taking him, dude. If you see where my team's at, I cannot. Give me
higher percentage wins.
Dude, I'm obviously in every bucket somehow. I'll pay to make it happen.
I was between Palmer and Polikinik, and I went Brandon with this second place finish at Grand a few years ago.
I like that.
There's so many of these wins that would be awesome to see, but I think if there was one that was deserving more than anybody else in this classic, it's Polikinik. Like it's like the one thing that's left to cross off his list.
Yeah. If you want a real dark horse here in Group A, you could go Hank Cherry. He almost won the classic there his first year going. Behind
the
face.
On
a jerk bait.
Yeah, didn't he break one off that like could have won it?
Yeah, and I think he broke one off on a jig too on the final day. That would have helped a lot as well. And Grand Lake is a jerk bait jig fishery. Hank Cherry's very good at both.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, great saw point. That.
And he's from North Carolina.
Hey, I think a dark horse in this is Bob Downey, no doubt, man. He's been shown out.
Won an open there.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And he's a Minnesota guy. Those guys do well on Grand. I think that's a 0.6%. Hard to pick in bucket A, but man, I think in just about any other bucket, he'd be fairly high. Yeah.
Any other dark horse, John, that we're not seeing here?
I don't even think you could even call him a dark horse, but I was going to say Paulina because no one picked him. But I'll go Bob Downey just because he is, you know, at the lowest percentage.
All right.
How about Hackney? Doesn't Hackney have a great track record at Grand too?
good cranker too, like really good shallow cranker. Yep.
But I feel like Polinic's due, and like you said, it's one thing he still wants to check off his list. So
yeah. All right. Well, that's all of our picks in, but let's go around the horn here. We can only pick one single person that we would get like our best feeling we think is going to win. I think we could all be in agreement here that we all think Jason Christie probably has the best chance of winning this. So let's
I don't know, dude. If we would have chose that, someone would have chose that if you would say that he's got the best chance.
But I think we're also playing the game here, though. Like, we're playing the game of fantasy fishing in order to beat each other. Like, so I think there's that.
To be honest, the reason why I didn't take Jason Christie is because he's started off the season terrible.
Right, yeah. I'm not going to say he's my number one to win this thing.
All right, fine. We'll throw Jason Christie back in the mix. But I just thought it – I don't want to go back. Who do you think is going to win? Who's your best guess? And all of us say Jason Christie, and it'd be obvious. But all right, well, let's just go down the line. Who do you think is the one person you think is going to win this event? Let's go left or right here on the screen. Andy, who you got?
I'm going to go dark horse pick. I think Patty Schlopper is somebody that could possibly win this classic. Like, has a really good chance at winning it in Group D.
Guy, do you just have him picked or no?
No, I do not, but I'm
curious.
Huh. Yeah, I just...
Why don't you pick him if he's your best chance of winning?
Because Hamner. I just think, like, I'm trying to go, like, different from my picks, right? Like, guys that I pick in my group, I'm like, I think Patch Flopper... Like,
Bailey asked your best pick of the event.
Yeah, your family's on the line, Andy.
My family's on the line.
Yeah, we're talking... We should hold up. Let's make this more fun. Whoever wins this gets something. We got to have a prize. This is number. If your person wins, so it may not go to anybody, but if your person wins the classic that we're going to say right now, we need to have a prize to make it so where Andy's not like, I think a dark horse.
All right, I'll change my. I misunderstood.
What should we make it? Should we make it like? What should it be? What should they get if you win?
It's got to be something expensive, right? It's the freaking classic, guys.
Yeah, I mean,
act like I made a money over here. I haven't.
Got to be something.
Speaking of which, Boomer, you still got to send your baits, dude.
I need the rust to truly take shape. It's almost there.
I want it to be just family heirlooms.
Yeah. Once the rust really sets in, I will
pack a box and send something
in the snow.
Sorry.
And a pair of Rapala pliers.
They're in there. They're part of the rust.
All right. I love it. All right, Andy, who's your pick?
I think I'm going to have to go my Group A pick in Brandon. I think he's long overdue for a classic victory. And if it's tough, he's going to catch him. So probably jerk baiting. And he's probably the one that said no to the scope rod.
I can't tell you that.
So I plead the fifth.
Boomer, what was that? What was that? No,
say it again, Boomer, with your words.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's
funny. Said, I don't need no Mega Live. I got
nope.
Deacon.
Dude, it is so for me between Stetson and Justin Hamner. Like, it's Blaylock or Hamner to me are the two that are reaching out to me, and I think Hamner will do extremely well, and I think he will spend a lot of time jerk baiting, but I feel like Stetson is a little more versatile, and it always seems like at Grand, it'll be like jerk bait for 2 days and then run up the elk or something just out of the whack or on the bank or something. So man, I'm looking at Stetson to take it in 2024 Classic. Would be awesome.
Oh,
yeah. Are you copying me again?
No.
Come on, Bailey.
No. I'm going to. The obvious answer here for me is Jason Christie. I don't know how you can bet against him in this one.
You bet against him, Vic Luke Palmer, though.
Well, yeah, that's exactly right. You quite literally bet against
him. And it's home field. It's hard to win at home.
That's different. I mean, I was playing the game of fantasy fishing. Okay.
I don't understand playing the game part. We're trying to win here.
Yeah, different picks from other people. Like, it's how you get the difference. Instead, you copied me off my paper.
I copied you off of your paper.
That's what we're fighting right now. You guys are fighting.
Yeah.
Are you two married? No, just kidding.
I'm going to call mom.
I agree.
Everyone tastes thirsty, damn it.
I agree with what Bailey's saying and kind of what he did for like the whole fantasy fishing. Cause I remember like when I used to do it, I wouldn't pick locals much because I feel like with locals, you're either going to have them do really good or do really bad. So from the fantasy fishing standpoint, you don't get that consistent, like almost a lock.
It's true.
I avoided locals a lot when I used to play just because of that, you know, kind of always seems like how it goes. Usually locals in the top 20 or the bottom 20.
Hell yeah. Thanks for defending me, bro.
Anytime.
Hey, that makes some sense. I appreciate that commentary.
Mm-hmm. Made way more sense in my opinion.
Well, you just said the game of fantasy, and I didn't understand it.
Yes.
I understand. And here I was. I picked Patty Schlopper at first because I thought it was outside of the people that we picked. So that was my bad.
Yeah, well, so. I mean, I didn't pick Jason Christie in fantasy fishing going into this thing anticipating all of you guys were going to pick Jason Christie. I have my picks locked before we start this show. I don't change them up based on whoever else picks what. Cheekin.
Mm-hmm. None of mine have been changed.
Just kidding. All right, moving on. Brendan.
So I'm honestly convinced that both my fantasy team and Drain the Lake would be last in the country, ranked very last in the country, if it weren't for Ben Milliken. So the fishing gods are pointing right at Ben saying, pick this man. I'm picking that.
I like it. Man. It's good. I'll That's good. Man. Good reasoning.
Yep.
John, what about you?
I was between Stetson and Kyle Welcher. Since he went with Stetson, I'll go with Kyle Welcher.
All right. Boomer. I get
Ponick.
All right.
I had a conversation with. I got a good story for you because this is the way he works. But I had a conversation with him a couple days ago, and I said, "You know, your record shows that you're going to get one in your career. There's just no way, right?" A guy that's won that much. And I was just talking about like, you know, keep your hopes up. It's going to happen in your career. And he was like, yeah, it'd be nice to get this one out of the way so I can get my second one coming too. Like he already thinks he's going to win like four. Like he has so much confidence. And I'm like, I was just trying to be like, hey, keep your hopes up. You might win a classic. And he's like, well, if I'm going to win three or four, I should probably start this year. Cause I don't know how much longer I'm going to be at. That's the way his brain works.
That's awesome.
He's a velociraptor. Awesome. Yeah,
I say the only asterisk on that is Roland Martin. We talk about how much he's won and everything he's won, but never won a classic.
Right.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Hopefully That's he's crazy. Not one. Hopefully he's not Roland Martin 2.0.
And there's a lot of guys that have won a lot in their careers and never won a classic, right? Like the probably the most famous one is Aaron Martin's.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just that, the point I was trying to make was the same, that we all think, like, you know, it could happen, and he was already like, well, if I'm going to win,
I'll get four.
Might as well start now.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
All right, bro.
You got a coach.
Yeah. All right, let's roll through from Andy down to Brennan here. We'll zigzag weights. What do you guys got weights for winning this thing?
Hold on, sorry, I just changed it over. I have 64.6.
Deacon,
I have 60 pounds, 2 ounces.
All right, I got 64.12. Boomer, what you got?
62 even.
John, what's your guess?
58.7.
Oh, you Debbie Downer.
That was mine previous to this.
Brennan?
I've got 60 pounds, 3 ounces.
All right.
Always trying to one-up me.
I think day three's win will throw the curveball into getting a 60-pound back.
I wanted to ask you that. I wanted to see if that.
Because it's either going to be you got, say, let's just say, like, a guy like Christie a little further behind going into day three, and then maybe he exploits a bank bite that last day, but he didn't have enough weight on days one and two to get 60, and then vice versa. Maybe a scoper leads after 2 days, falls off on the last day because of that wind. I mean, it's hard to scope in that. Anything over like 10. Like when you get up to 20, it's like you better be fishing somewhere half protected on the lake.
Like a 20-20-17 kind of deal you're looking at? All right, let's run through Drain the Lake quick, and then we can start wrapping this thing up. Andy, what you got?
All right, I got Ari Canterbury, Jason Christie, Fothergill, Hamner, Hackney, Palmer, and Smith.
Smith.
Bryant.
Oh,
Okay.
Yeah.
Deacon?
I've got... Hold up. I'm sorry. I'm getting to my drain the lake.
You bastard.
Okay. I have... Gosh, where did it go? Okay, here we go.
Don't forget to input.
I've got Airy, Luke. I've got Airy, Luke Palmer, Jason Christie, Easton Fothergill, Cody Huff. I'm sorry, not Cody Huff. Joey Nia, Brandon Polinick, Tyler Williams.
Huh?
Oh, and Cody Huff. I do that. That's the eighth. Okay.
Pick a guy.
Sorry.
I got Jason Christie, Hamner, Joey Nia, Luke Palmer, Kyle Patrick, Rasmussen, Tyler Williams, and Kyle Welcher. What do you got, Boomer?
Blaylock, Airy, Christie, Jakobsen, Polinick, Smith, as in Bryant Smith, Fothergill, and Nia. Pretty much the same thing you guys got.
Nice. John, we won't make you go make.
I'll just take the eight guys, the highest percentages.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go.
That's my strategy, man. Come on.
All right, Brennan, it's really working for you, Brennan.
one of the best at being the worst.
That was brutal.
Yeah. One of the best at being one of the worst in the country. But I got Jason Christie, Justin Hamner, Cody Huff, Ben Milliken, Jay Shakirat, Tyler Williams, Bob Downey, and Brandon Card.
I like that card pick, man.
Thank you.
Sneaky good.
All right. We missing anything? I can't think if there's anything. Big Fish, what do you think Big Fish is going to be?
Oh, good question.
Over six?
Yeah, I feel like it usually is. It's usually like
seven.
Seven, sometimes eight on grand.
It's never the guy that wins, though.
No. It's like not he has grand. Like three fish, and he'll have a giant like two dicks.
Freak. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm gonna say 8-1.
Ooh,
random big. Number 8-1. Big
that's
big.
A big one on grand.
Yeah.
I like the enthusiasm.
It's the time of year, like that pre like they're coming into almost spawn, so they're going to be their biggest right now. So it's your best shot at an eight.
Deacon,
I'm going to go 7-3.
Damn, I was going with that.
Better change it.
I'll go. I'm going to go 6-11. Boomer.
I'm going to take Clint Bartlett Fishing's recommendation and go 6-14.
7-4. 7-4.
7-4.
One up in me. I like it.
Brennan?
It's going to be a 7 yonder even.
Ooh.
On the dot.
On the dot.
I like it.
What question? When KVD won the BPT at Grand, right? He won it a couple years ago. Didn't he have like a giant one of the days?
I don't know.
When who won the?
Didn't when the BPT went to Grand? Isn't that one of Kevin's last wins? Or did he win?
No, he won Chick. I don't know if he won Grand.
I feel like he did.
I mean, he won BPT. he won the Elite there.
Yeah, I don't remember
cranking for Bedfish.
Kevin's only win. On
I thought he won
Chick.
Oh, you're probably right. I probably have the two mixed up, but I thought he had a giant.
The Toyota series last year, there was a 7-8 as Big Fish, and then day two's Big Fish was a 6-13.
Someone just says, "Who is right, KVD?" Man. If that's a serious question, I need you to leave the chat and never tune into the show. No,
great, Bailey.
Yes, yeah, I'm just kidding. It's just a joke. All right, well, boys, let's wrap this thing up. I'm pretty sure we covered just about everything. I guess one last thing is I know Brennan, John, myself will be at the Classic, so make sure you look out for us. I myself will be at X2 Power, Hummingbird, Minn Kota, floating around some different booths. But I guess, John, starting with you, where can people look? What should they look for if they're going to the Classic? Where will you be? Things like that.
Yeah, I'll be floating around, but I'll be in the Mercury booth, the Bass Pro Shops booth, Aquaview, Miller Tech, and a couple other ones just kind of bounce around here and there between Sunline, Spro, Kamikatsu, and just trying to hang out with some buddies and catch up with some people from booth to booth.
Heck yeah. I'll probably see you then because I think Omnia is splitting a booth with Aquaview this year.
Are they?
I believe so.
Yeah, I think Colt was saying they're running some sort of special through Omnia on an AquaView camera system. So I know I think I was going to go for that time that they were going to announce it, maybe display it or something like that. I know we had talked about it, and then I wasn't going to be able to make it, but then now I'm going to be there. So we'll find out.
Well, come to the expo to check it out, or I'm sure follow Jonathan. I'm sure he'll have it on his social media as well. But Brendan, what about you, man? What should people look out for? It's Classic.
For me, nothing. I'm just going to be roaming the show floor, having a good time, hanging out. But yeah, I can't wait to see some new product get launched. But no, we don't have anything coming as far as it goes.
Brennan said he's going to be giving out free beers. So if you want free beer, Brennan said he's buying.
Yep. It's a cool deal. You buy me two, I buy you one. All day long, baby. Let's go.
Well played, sir.
I love it.
All day. Great.
Just bring it out. I don't have to use it.
Well, boys, that was fun. Classic week. Always exciting. Looking forward to seeing everybody down there. If you guys do come near the X2 power booth or see me anywhere around the expo, chances are I will have some Serious Angler and Biz from the Bass Boat merch with me, specifically some hats. So it's first come, first serve. We hand those out if you guys see me. So come on by. If you're coming to the Classic, reach out. And looking forward to seeing everybody there. Fellas, anything else? All right. Let's wrap the sucker up. We'll see y'all next week. Well, that was an awesome show. Hope you guys enjoyed it. If you can and your app allows it, please leave us a rating and review. It really helps us get seen more, which allows us to access more time and more variables to be able to bring to the show to make it better for you guys. So hope you enjoyed it. And if you did and you liked some of the things we talked about in this episode and want to check out our show partners, all of that is in every single show description. You can click down there. It's got all of our discount codes, all of our links to our show partners, where you guys can go and support the people that support this show and help us make this show happen. And of course, this show does not happen without you guys. You guys know we appreciate you. You're the Serious Angler fam. You're the reason we're here. Appreciate y'all. And we'll see y'all on the next one.